This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us. Night number 29. Subhanallah. Where has this month gone? How did this Ramadan go so quickly? And subhanallah, we are on the 29th night of the holy month of Ramadan. Very, very likely that this could be the last night. Very sadly, this could be the last night of Ramadan. Tomorrow might be the last day of fast, because we will go out tomorrow evening, Saturday night, after sunset. Our mankakers, sure practicing social distancing, they will go out and they would look to see if they sight the moon here in Cape Town and in Southern Africa. And if the moon is sighted, then of course tomorrow would be the beginning of Shawwal, and it will be Eid or Labarang, as we say. And if not, then Alhamdulillah, and we pray for that. SubhanAllah, we all pray, and I ask that we all collectively pray that Ya Allah, bless us with another night of Ramadan. Eid can always come. Eid can come on Monday. That's fine. We don't have to have Eid on Sunday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that we have the full benefit. But if, unfortunately, if that is the case, that Allah has decreed that we'll only have 29 nights, then tonight is a very, very important night. Number one, it's an odd night. So I know that Eid mode is kicking in. We're already having discussions around Eid and what are we going to prepare. We know this is going to be a very different kind of Eid. We'll talk about Eid later on, inshallah, in this lecture tonight. But very, very importantly, I say this to myself because I even feel a little bit less focused compared to the 27th night of Ramadan, for example. But remember, tonight is an odd night, and tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. And subhanAllah, the way the world is going, you know, it just shows us we can't take for granted we'll be here for Ramadan again. And so take it that this is the last Ramadan, the last night of Ramadan that we'll ever experience. If this is the last night that we get to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, then really we need to make it count. There has to be every single dua that needs to be made must be made tonight. Every single sin that we have must be forgiven by the grace of Allah tonight. That our place in Jannah must be secured. That inshaAllah, that with the blessings that will come on this night and tomorrow is enough for us to secure a place in Jannah. So make all the efforts that you can, and this is, I will take it as a last and final opportunity to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plead our case. And of course, as Ramadan comes to an end, very important to remember, as we said, Allah had prescribed the fasting, had prescribed Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. He wants to show us, look, this is what we can really achieve. If we put our minds to it, if the environment is correct, if everything is in our favor, it puts shaitan on one side, then this is really the kind of person you and I can be. And I know every single person, alhamdulillah, has taken at least one step forward. Some have taken big jumps forward to Allah. The key and the real focus now is trying not to go back to our old ways, but trying to maintain it and keep it. Maybe we can't keep all of it. No, none of us are going to fast every single day of every single month. We're not going to maybe be able to make every single night taraweeh and tahajjud and all that. But perhaps now is an opportunity to do a little bit of it and to keep some of it. And again, it's a good chance for us to sit down and reflect. And again, this is a very special Ramadan, a very unique Ramadan, this COVID-19 Ramadan. It is history, really, historic. There's never been a Ramadan like this in living memory. And so we are part of it. We are experiencing it. And of course, there needs to be some reflection on that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in what has happened this year, but grant that next year's Ramadan goes back to normal. We all would love to be in the masjid again. So tonight, make the most that you can this evening. Point number two, on the quiz and our survey, alhamdulillah, the one positive of this year's Ramadan is that, alhamdulillah, we've had more people than ever before participating in our quizzes. So those who have never attended the Masjid Burhanul Islam, we're in the book up, but this lectures go far and wide. SubhanAllah, I know of people in Europe, in Asia, throughout Africa, how these lectures go, Allah knows best. And we are so glad and humbled that Allah has allowed these lectures to go far and wide. So very few of our actual listenership has ever been to Masjid Burhanul Islam. We invite you, when the Masjid is open, to please attend. And we usually have the quiz, and we give the prizes out in the masjid. Of course, we couldn't do that this year, but we wanted to keep the quiz going. And alhamdulillah, you've responded so well. And we kept the quiz, made it broad, a general knowledge Islamic quiz on questions throughout the Quran. We tried to keep it within the Quran. Maybe one or two questions that went beyond the Quran. And some of them were a bit nasty questions from my side. You know, I would think about how best to make it difficult. And some of you have been very diligent. You know, you've messaged me the night before, the night after, and said that question has multiple answers. And sometimes I was caught out. You know, our memo was wrong, and alhamdulillah, we fixed it. And so just some of the questions that some people have struggled with, maybe we're just going to go through some of them. There was a question, which Nabi did not see the resurrection? And there were a number of multiple choice, of course. And many people chose Nabi Musa because in our minds, or I think it's a true or false question, it's asked, did Nabi Musa witness the resurrection? And it automatically our mind goes to Nabi Isa. Obviously, resurrection was a miracle of Nabi Isa. But we forget in the story of the cow, Surah Al-Baqarah, the whole purpose of that story was that a man was brought back to life after they hit him with the sacrificed cow. And so Nabi Musa witnessed a resurrection. And there was even another instance where they asked to see Allah, and Allah caused a group of Bani Israel to die, and they were resurrected against subhanAllah. So many miracles went to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Then there was a question about which Nabi did not see a dream in the Quran. Now, of course, dreams, our first notion goes to Nabi Yusuf. He, of course, saw a dream. Another person who saw a dream, which is mentioned, is of course Nabi Ibrahim, when he saw himself sacrificing Nabi Ismail, and he asked him, what do you think I should do? And so beautifully Nabi Ismail says to him, oh my dear father, do what Allah has commanded, inshallah, I will be patient. There is also a dream, Allah speaks about the dream of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Surah Al-Fath, that Allah says that the dream of you entering the haram and making tawaf and making umrah, this will come true. And so that dream is mentioned. Side note, sister was messaging and saying how sad she was that her Nia and her family was to go on umrah this year. It would have been their first umrah. And subhanAllah, how could they have predicted this? And they are so upset and so sad and disappointed as we could feel. And I can't even imagine what the Hujjaj will feel. We pray that things will be fixed when Hajj comes. But if not, there will be many, many Hajjis that are deeply, deeply disappointed. And one consolation, maybe, is that this is exactly what happened to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first Umrah that the Sahaba were going to go, this is the very first Umrah. Everyone is excited. We're going to go with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Umrah. And they get to Mecca and they are turned away. They are so disappointed that when they are turned away, they're still in the Ihram. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, look guys, we have to come back next year. This year, you know, it hasn't been decreed we're going to be in Umrah. So shave your hair and exit your Ihram, even before you finish the Umrah. And this was the first time really in the whole seerah that you can find the Sahaba almost disobeying the Nabi Sallam. They felt, how could we exit our Ihram without performing the Tawaf? And the Nabi was a bit frustrated because he said, exit Ihram, and they were a bit slow to act. And so our mother, Salama, the wife of Nabi Sallam, said to him, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you go out and shave your hair first? And when they see you shaving your hair, then they will feel comfortable that they can do it. And so, subhanAllah, that this is, in a way, we hope, a sunnah. And what we know is that if you are unable to form an ibadah, so you are unable to go for umrah, not your fault, the sustainer hayt, unable to fast, unable to make salah, then we know Allah in His majesty, and this is who He is, He will reward you with a complimentary umrah, a complimentary fasting. And that complimentary one is even better than the one that you would have made. If you went for umrah, you would have made mistakes, you would have made sin. It wasn't going to be perfect, but the one Allah is going to give you is going to be perfect. And then on top of that, bi-idhnillah, He will allow you to come and perform your umrah as well and your hajj as well. May Allah grant that's the case. We asked, why did Dhul-Qarnayn pour over his dam? And of course, in Surah Al-Kahf, we know Dhul-Qarnayn built this dam that stopped Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And in the eyes, sa'ufriqu alayhi kitra. So we pour over copper, molten copper. Kitr is copper. And you'll find this word kitr in a few places in the Quran. Nabi Sulaiman also was given a spring of kitr. And so this was poured over his dam. And this is what made it even more firm. What battle is mentioned in the Quran? And many of you chose the Battle of Uhud. Battle of Uhud is a reference, but not mentioned in the Quran. There are many, many references of the Battle of Uhud. Rather, the battle which is named in the Quran. So, a few battles, but Battle of Badr, the day of Badr, Allah mentions it by name. And also, Wa Yawma Hunayn, in the day of the Battle of Hunayn. Now, what battle is this? This was after the Muslims conquered Mecca. And then next to Mecca is Taif. Remember Taif? Taif is that city that almost pelted the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to death. It's right next to Mecca. And so the next city after Mecca was Taif. And so the Sahaba and now all the new converts of Mecca, many of them, of course, they embraced Islam without fighting the people of Mecca. So they moved to Taif. And this was the first battle in all the battles where the Muslims were superior in number. And Allah mentions in Surah Tawbah how on the day of the Battle of Hunayn, the Muslims, there was a sense of self-assurance that we won all these victories when we were few in number. Today we are more in number, and so we are, you know, they take comfort we're going to win. And Allah actually caused it to change, that they were trapped, the Muslims were trapped in a valley, the valley of Hunayn, and they were put in an ambush, and it almost became a catastrophe. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood firm when many of the Sahaba had to retreat. He stood firm and Allah sent down Sakina, and the Muslims were able to win the battle. So the Battle of Hunayn is mentioned by name in the Quran. What is the shortest verse in the Quran? It is the first verse of Surah Taha, Taha. So this is one verse with two letters, Ta and Ha. And even if you look at Surah Yasin, also two letters, but of course there's a mad on the Yasin, right? There's a mad there. Ta Ha has no mad, it's just Ta and Ha. So this is the shortest ayah in the whole Quran. The longest ayah, as many of you would know, is of course the end of Surah Baqarah. It's called the ayah of death. It's about a whole page long. You could see it quite clearly towards the end of Surah Baqarah. This was another tricky one. What was the last animal mentioned by the Quran? So many of you correctly selected the elephant, because the elephant is the last chapter about an animal. But if you read Surah Al-Fil, so Allah speaks about أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. So Allah says, yes, mention what we did to the companions of the elephant, how we sent against them flocks of birds. So birds are actually the last animal that is mentioned in the Quran. Another one, this is quite, not shouldn't be a tricky one, but the people of Ad, they lived in an area called Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf. So Nabi Hud went to Ad. And Ad, they also lived in a city called Iram. And Iram was in an area called Al-Ahqaf. So the 46th surah is called Surah Al-Ahqaf. It mentions the geography is like hilly. And so all of these names are linked with the people of Nabi Hud. Nabi Hud went to Ad. Ad lived in the city of Iram. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah mentions them. Wa Iram in the little Autad, the city of Iram with all its pillars. And this was in an area called the area of Al-Ahqaf. One of the other questions that some of you struggled with, which Nabi, Allah blessed him that he made dhikr, and his dhikr was so beautiful, it was so melodious that even the mountains made dhikr with him. And this, of course, Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu salam. If you have any other, I just randomly selected the ones I saw was quite difficult. I'm sure some of you might have other questions. You can message us and we'll go through them, bi-idhnillah. Then on to our quiz. Or rather our survey. We also released a survey yesterday or the day before. And really, subhanAllah, as I mentioned, we are living in a very, very strange time, and it is history, you know, history in the making. People will look back, you know, when this disease is blown over and bi-idhnillah, things go back to normal, generations will look back and they will say, how did we navigate through this time when there was no Taraweeh Salah, there was no Jumu'ah for weeks on end, how sad it is. What was it like for the man on the street? So yes, we have many articles being written, but what about you? How did you experience your Ramadan? So we ask that every single person take one minute, to click on the link. And this could be throughout the world, you know, wherever you are. It's not only Cape Town, but you can click on the link and you can fill in there how you felt and your comments about Ramadan. And inshallah, we hope that if we can hit, you know, 1,000+, we're close to 1,000, alhamdulillah, but if we can hit 1,000+, then on the night of Eid or after Eid, so not the night of Eid, maybe the night of the second of Shawwal, once we all had our Eid meals, then we'll perhaps release the data, and if we are able to do so, what exactly was the feedback, and maybe we can think about that. So please do the survey and share the survey. Then, alhamdulillah, as we move on, Eid al-Fitr. So the first thing, Eid al-Fitr, as we said, is either Sunday morning or Monday morning. Very, 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 very important is you need to pay your Zakat al-Fitr. Zakat al-Fitr becomes now due. And it is a major, major reward, the one who pays his Zakat al-Fitr. And even if you feel, subhanAllah, am I well off or not, it's 40 rand, subhanAllah. Every single person in your household, 40 rand, donate your Zakat al-Fitr to one of the organizations. You can go to Burhanul's website, Sanzef's website, imamdp.org, the Imam Development Program. Collect the Zakat al-Fitr and we distribute this, or hand out fitrah parcels, if you will, to a poor person, some relative that you know is in need. And inshallah, this is going to be, must be done before Eid Salah. So we don't know, very likely it could be Sunday morning, very likely it could be Monday morning. So don't delay. If you miss, then it's only a sadaqah. But if you pay it, then it is a fitrah, and it's of course a much, much more rewarding thing to be fitrah. And so this will be a unique Eid. As we know, and of course, we will all be performing Eid, we'll enjoying Eid at home. We will not be able to go to the masjid, and even, you know, sadder, we're not going to be able to see our relatives. There'll be a lot of sad grandparents, a lot of sad parents, children, siblings, friends, all of them. I mean, Eid, what makes it amazing is getting to be together for that moments. And so one of the blessings in this time is that we have an appreciation for the masjid, we have an appreciation for family, those people that, you know, we always took for granted. I can always see my parents, I can always go and visit my friend, my brother, next week. Now you realize, subhanAllah, how much we miss each other. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect on this. But of course, while we are sad, as we did with Ramadan, as we do with Jumu'ah, we will keep the spirit of Eid alive. Eid doesn't have to be, you know, in the masjid. When we make ibadah, even if you are alone, even if you're the only Muslim on earth, you will still have Jumu'ah, you will still have Salah, you will still have Taraweeh, you will still have Eid even. If you're one person alone on an island, and it was Eid, you will celebrate Eid on that day. Because it is, the celebration is in the لِيُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, that we celebrate the praise of Allah for what He has given us. Eid, as we know, comes after Ramadan and after Hajj, when we completed a pillar of Islam, meaning we've completed something which bi-ithnillah will take us to Jannah, and that is why we celebrate. It's not that we've come at the end of Ramadan. Celebration is that we've achieved, by the grace of Allah, He's allowed us to worship Him like this. So we encourage everyone to uphold the Eid in their house. We know that Eid is a sunnah mu'akkada in the Shafi madhab and in the other madhahib, meaning it's a emphasized sunnah, and in the Hanafi madhab is even called a wajib, meaning that every single person, even if you miss the Eid salah, so in a normal circumstance, you come a bit late, you got stuck in traffic and you miss the Eid salah, then you still can make a qada and you can still make Eid salah. And so at home, we want you to perform Eid Salah. We're giving you tonight a step-by-step guide, and maybe a more detailed one tomorrow, inshallah. But now, just a high-level step guide for you, how to perform Eid Salah. So, the waqt of Eid, of course, it comes in when we see the moon. So when we see the moon, which obviously is at night time, so either tomorrow night, Saturday night, or Sunday night, whenever the moon is sighted, it would be the first of Shawwal, and it is Eid. And now we begin our takbir. And with this year, not being in the masjid, we encourage now that everyone should make as much takbir as you can. In fact, we will also be releasing a takbir clip. And this is the one thing, I'm a big fan of not spamming people and sending them, you know, du'as and all these things. But if you want to share this clip of takbir, so that it may go around the world, because it was the sunnah of the sahaba, they would go into the markets and they would raise their voice. So, you know, subhanAllah, imagine someone walking in the middle of canal walking and saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And we're not asking you to do that. In fact, you shouldn't be in canal, you should be at home. But the point is that this takbir should be made loud, and it should be made known that we are celebrating the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see the moon, we begin to make the takbir, and inshallah you do it at home, get your kids to participate and listen to that clip as well. Of course, the lagu is so nice on these takbir clips. Then on Eid morning, right, so the day, either Sunday morning or Monday morning, wherever it is, the morning of Eid, you will wake up and you perform Fajr, and then afterwards you would do the Sunnah. So keep doing the Sunnahs of Eid. So even though you're not maybe going anywhere, and alhamdulillah, it's a good thing, maybe you don't need to buy Eid clothes this year. Maybe, number one, it keeps you focused during these last few nights of Ramadan, it helps you save some money, and of course, alhamdulillah, it you know, we have a very simple and humble Eid, but the purpose is we still make it a big occasion. So still do the Sunnahs of Eid, meaning you will perform a ghusl, everyone in the household performs a ghusl, you would put on some perfume or something that smells nice, you would wear your best clothing. So if you don't buy new clothing, there'd be some, didn't buy a new outfit for every Eid, you took the one that was best. And so, for example, myself, I have this jubba I wear for Jumu'ah, even though I never wear it at home, of course. Now we wear the jubba, even if it's just myself, my wife and kids, we wear the jubba. And before Eid Salah begins, so between Fajr and the time of Eid, is we have something to eat just to signify that we're eating in the day, and it is not and it's not Ramadan anymore. And now and that time, of course, is where we would have been in the masjid. That is a very beautiful time between Eid, Fajr Salah, and the waqt of Eid. Eid's waqt comes in, of course, after the sun has fully risen. The time of Ishraq, right? That is the time of Eid. So it is about an hour and a half after Fajr. Maybe, say, we could say around 8 o'clock, that is when the waqt of Eid comes in, plus minus. And so that period between Fajr and around 8 o'clock is really when you want to make as much takbir as you want, and, you know, really, really raise the tempo in terms of takbir. And so do that in your house. You know, it's also important, as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a special place to perform Eid Salah. He didn't make it in the masjid, he made it outside the masjid. It's even recommended to choose an area in your house now, maybe move some furniture and say, this is our Eid room, maybe, or Eid Musalla. And we put the musallas down and we prepare, this is where we're going to perform Eid. And we sit there maybe 10-20 minutes before the waqt of Eid comes in, and we make our takbirs together. We reflect on Allah's blessings and His mercy. And then when the waqt comes in, The Imam will, of course, perform the Eid Salah. And how do you perform the Eid Salah? So the Imam obviously says Allahu Akbar, Takbiratul Ihram, and then per the Shafi Madhab, he performs 7 additional Takbir, 7 times Takbir, so 8 in total. Yes, if you look at the way the Imams of the Haram do it, they do Takbiratul Ihram and 6, meaning 7 in total. Much of a muchness, there's a bit of a very subtlety in the hadith. The Hanafis have even less than that. They have got about 3 takbirs. Allah, alhamdulillah, all is good and well. So, whatever you do, you either make 1 takbir and 7, 1 takbir to ihram, Allahu Akbar, plus another 7, and then you recite Surah Fatiha, and then one Surah of the Quran, you know, whatever Surah it might be, ruku, sujood, and then you come back up for your second raka'ah, and once you are up in your second raka'ah, Allahu Akbar, you came up, now you do another 5 takbir, so in that 6 in total, and you complete your salah, your Eid salah, and then you are done. If you have more than 2 adults, per the Shafi Madhab, so if you are more than 2, then it is encouraged for you to even give an Eid khutbah. One of the beautiful things about this year's COVID-19 world, it forces everyone to be the Imam of his masjid, and it forces everyone to start doing things as well. And so we will share, inshallah, either later this evening as the night progresses, or tomorrow in the afternoon or in the evening, we will share a khutbah, a very simple khutbah, how to give the khutbah in Arabic, and with the English translation, very, very simple. You don't have to worry about it, it won't be too difficult. You don't have to memorize it, you can read from your phone or a piece of paper if you want to. And so you will mention the way the Eid khutbah is done. You will stand up, and then you will face your family, and you'll give the first khutbah. Then you have a chair next to you. You'll sit down on the chair for a few minutes, or a few seconds rather. Stand up and do your second khutbah. And of course, there's a closing with dua and salawat. And then of course, at the end, when you're done with your Eid khutbah, and remember, this is different to Jummah, salah first, and then the Eid khutbah. And then afterwards, you greet your family and your friends. Of course, we will also be giving an English lecture, so you can perhaps listen to an English lecture before the Eid salah. So maybe on the morning of Eid Fajr time, keep your eyes open on your phone. You'll get a lecture from us, an English lecture, so at least everyone can sit, listen to the lecture, reflect on what we've been through, and then you perform your salah, you do your Eid khutbah, and then afterwards you greet. And one of the sunnahs, I mean the big sunnah of Eid, is the greeting, that we greet one another. So you greet every family member, in a proper accordance, you know, of social distancing as well, if it's needed. And then of course make those WhatsApp calls, those Zoom or Microsoft Teams calls. I know I can think of my own parents, subhanAllah, may Allah keep them safe. They're in another side of the world. We all planned that they would be here, but they're not. So keep them in our du'as. So I'm sure they're missing the grandkids very much, and hopefully their kids as well. So schedule those calls, and all the friends that you and family that you would have been together, make a point to have a family group call. Alhamdulillah, there's a technology that we allowed, and alhamdulillah, keep the spirit of Eid alive, and keep and remember we make takbir for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan comes and goes, you know, Jumu'ah comes and goes, masjids even come and go, but Allah is the one thing that remains the same. And Allah, we've increased our relationship with Allah this Ramadan, so alhamdulillah, that is why we make takbir, and we thank Allah for what He has given us. And of course, as we conclude this year's Ramadan, Ramadan 2020, never in our lives could we have thought of a Ramadan like this. It is only appropriate that I, you know, give my thanks to everyone, and a special thank you on behalf of the entire team at Burhanul Islam. Many people don't realize that we have maybe, you know, 2 dozen so of people, more than that, in the background doing so much work. I do the easy work. I just talk. The rest do the actual work. And so we need to, I give a personal gratitude to our team that is maintaining the masjid. Even though no one is at the masjid, someone needs to make sure it's clean and make sure that it's still in safe and sound, so that when we get back to the masjid, it's ready. There's a whole team of people doing that. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them for keeping our masjid alive. Then subhanAllah, we have a soup kitchen, and now more than ever people are in desperate need. They fed nearly 1,000 people every single day. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them and the staff that every single day to go out, make the food, distribute the food in this kind of conditions. May Allah reward them and their families. And then of course the Mahrajan is this thing where we cook these pots of food. In spite of this COVID-19, still 47 pots of food are being planned to be cooked for the night of Eid and to be distributed to 20 different organizations. There are now more than a dozen teams involved, 14 teams that are doing this, but giving up their time. And of course, extra, you know, burden now with, you know, protective clothing, masks, segregation. You know, it is a very difficult process, but it's still being done. So alhamdulillah to them, Allah reward them. Our digital marketing team, these lectures that go out, subhanAllah, I do the easy part. As I said, there's a lot of people in the back end that's managing managing the quiz, managing the slides. Our Bilal's doing the audios, the takbirs and the salawats, trying to connect with our community as best we can in these circumstances. May Allah reward all of them and everyone. And of course to you, those who have followed our murids, even though they're not in the masjid, they're still connected to the masjid. Our donors, everything, you know, costs money. Alhamdulillah, the money, by the grace of Allah, you people have supported so generously. And the followers and well-wishers, people that have listened to the lectures and email, a word of appreciation goes so much to myself and the team. We really thank you for being with us and being part of this. May Allah accept from us. And a big thank you and Jazakallah Khair from Burhanul. In closing, I make this sincere dua that Ya Allah, O most merciful, O most kind, O Rabbul Alameen, O Lord, we submit to you and we worship you alone. We turn to you in this very, very difficult time where things have become uncertain. You are the only one in which we submit to and we turn to, and all our hopes and our dreams and our fears are in your hands. You are sufficient for us, that when you give without limitation, and when you take with wisdom. You are the one that gives life, and you are the one that brings about death, and in your hands are all that is good, and we put ourselves in your hands and your care. We plead to you, Allah, in this beautiful month of Ramadan, on this the 29th, the night of Ramadan, let there be many, many more years of Ramadan to come for us. Write for us in our books of decrees that we will have many, many more years to worship you and pray to you. And that if, however this is our last night, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. Let all of us leave this month of Ramadan free of any sins. May all of us achieve that reward equal to 1,000 months, so that our scales have a lifetime of good deeds. Ya Allah, with all our shortcomings and all our mistakes, accept us into your care, accept us into your love. Bring barakah for us in this world and the next. May we be saved from the calamities of this world. Protect our deen, protect our health, protect our family members, protect our rizq, protect all those that we love, protect the things that we love in this dunya, watch over our parents, our children, our marriages. May Allah keep us safe from the calamities of this world. May Allah remove this COVID-19 from all of us and bless all of humanity again. May Allah be pleased with us. And then may Allah bless us with safety and security of all the calamities in the akhirah. May we be exempted from the questioning of the qabr and be spared of the punishment of the qabr. May we be resurrected close to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah and be shaded by the Arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. May we stand before you, Ya Allah, with our records in our right hand, and may our scales be heavy on the right side. May you be pleased with us, Ya Allah. When we die, may we die with you being pleased with us. May we die in a state of perfection and ibadah, and then into us, bi-idhnillah, into Jannatul Firdaus, without reckoning, without going near to the fires of Jahannam, except from us our fasting, our standing, our reciting, our charity, and all the actions that we do of goodness only for your sake. Have mercy upon us, and we thank you for all the blessings and kindness that you've done. You are Al-Akbar, we have fasted, and we have done the salah, but you are superior, and you are the greatest for allowing us to do this. We thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify your names over and over. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much all of you once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.